Welcome, everybody, to episode 193 of the Whiskey and Watches podcast. Sorry for the pause there. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
And Buzzy is in the driver's seat, so I'm not a good passenger sometimes. And I forgot that I, even though he clicked record, I still do the intro.
Yeah, exactly.
How this works.
Yes. It has been a while, and any podcast that starts with a reference to Stained, but is also like factually correct, that's a good one.
It's funny you mentioned Stained because at a recent gathering of friends, we were joking about how a lot of things happened 15 years ago, which by that we really mean like at this point 20 plus years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, like 2001, 15 years ago. 1997, 15 years ago. Whoops.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for some smart ass to refer to my childhood as the 20th century. I know someone's going to do it to me.
Pierce asked something the other day about the 1800s. Like, the way he said it, like, I think he meant the 1800s. But it was questionable.
Yeah.
There was the tweet that I saw recently, and it was, and this is clearly dated because it's not football season, because I was back in town and went to my former high school's football game, and the marching band at halftime was playing Blink-182, and I was like, oh, good for them, they're playing something new. Back when I was in high school, they only played the classics. And then it hit me.
Oh, no. So I have been listening to a lot of Blink and Offspring and stuff like that recently. That's my Tuesday morning. That's my leg day music. For some reason, it's just incredibly anabolic. Forgotten, like, Offspring has 1 million bangers. I cannot describe how prolific a band they are. And it's very funny too, because what I'll do is I'll put the music videos on YouTube and just crank it up because the wife and the kids are out of the house, at that point in the morning. So, yeah, their music videos are like everything from like, oh, this is very clearly a low effort, cheap to do one at the very beginning of your popularity. To like,
yes,
high concept, robot looking ones. It's just funny.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh well.
Been a minute.
That's the truth. Yeah. That's the truth.
Been 3 minutes and 22 seconds at this point.
Yeah, it's been a few episodes since I've been on. I've been busting my ass at work, trying to get something completed that I've been working on for years now, and so far it's looking really good. But that does not leave a lot of time for podcasting.
No, it does not. It does not. Or even to think much about the topic of podcast.
No.
Or the topic of the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's watches go from something that you enjoy, yeah, and have kind of a hobby interest in, to something that you glare at when you realize how late it is and how you'd rather not be working. But it's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. Nothing lasts forever like that, so.
Well, I mean, it's funny because it's not like there's anything in that world, in the watch world, that's really happened recently, right? So, nothing really to talk about.
Yeah, no. Yeah, probably no watches or wonders. You
know? No.
Nothing germane, yeah.
No alliteration of any kind. Mm.
Which is a shame because alliteration's always awesome.
It is. It really is. Indeed. It is indeed. took you a second.
Yeah, there. It's okay. I'm running at half speed these days. Yes.
Anyway, well, speaking of half speed, what is helping slow you down? What is in the glass on the wrist?
All right. So let's talk of cheerful things. Have you noticed how utterly gorgeous it is outside nearly every day, Spence?
Yeah, it has been. It has been quite a bit. Although it's been the days that I needed to be the most gorgeous for baseball practice, it has been dreadfully wet.
Yep. Yeah. We
so other than Wednesdays,
we do tend to have some big time rain sometimes, but most of the time it's great. And a lot of times, earlier this week, I went out and got ice cream with some of my coworkers at lunch because it was hot and sunny, just like summer. You know what? Get ready, baby. # hot scotch summer in the glass. We've got the Glenlivet Caribbean Reserve. It's back. It's better than ever. I think this is the third summer in the row that I'm hawking this. Three scotch, three summer. I don't know. I'll come up with something clever. Yeah, it's still a delight. It still has everything that you want. All I did, I got my Little Rocks glass from Maury's Pub. Rest in God's peace, Maury. You were a great man. talk about it's been a while. It's got Notre Dame's football schedule from 2010. So, God, that's a while ago. Anywho.
That is almost 15 years ago.
That's shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But, yeah, take that rocks glass. Toss a single big sphere ice cube in it and as many fingers as possible of Caribbean Reserve. It's
all the fingers.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. Thank you, Sandy. Great job on this.
Yes.
And then on my wrist, it's not a shock. It's the Black Bay 58 on the stock oyster. Tried and true. Funny enough, the Breitling Super Quartz needs a battery, which is fine. I got popped down the Richter anyway to get my wedding band size down because it falls off of my finger at various points in the day.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Good for you.
Been probably about 35 pounds ago, so that's a good thing. So, yeah. Well, head down there at some point, and I'm sure I may have to look at a watch or two when I'm down there.
Well, so the funny thing about this, now that I'm thinking about it, this podcast not only is older than some of the children that we've had, this is now, I believe, your second watch battery replacement for that watch.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
And those things last a good amount of time.
Yes, they do.
Just saying.
You know, it's funny because, quartz is like the double-edged sword because I could see if you really need to have the time dead on, it's hard to argue with, right? But you also...
Until it stops.
Yeah, unless you are paying attention, because there are plenty of the good movements will have low battery indicators of various sorts on there. But I was just thinking, like, if you're doing some sort of secret squirrel shit and need to synchronize your watches, it would not be advantageous to have yours take a conk during a during tactical things. Yeah, closest I've come to that is I've had to replace that battery plenty of times because I've had it for honestly probably 15 years or close to it at this point. And I was out in San Diego for a buddy's wedding. And it it stopped all the way out. I'm like, oh, come on. Then you have the decision. Do you like look like a doofus that's wearing a non-functional watch, or do you leave it in your hotel room? I looked like a doofus. It's so okay. I'm used to it.
The funny thing about that, yeah. Funny thing about that is, like, people who don't know, if you're wearing a chronograph, even a mechanical one, just assume that it's stopped because they see this chrono seconds at 12. Like, how come your watch isn't running? It's like, no, there's a sub-second. So anyway.
Good point.
Most normies don't realize.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Anyway.
What about you, buddy? What are you drinking?
So I haven't ventured out enough to find my warm weather drink of choice yet. But I'm sure it'll be back. I'm sure it'll be better than ever. But my wife found me a nitro fruit tart from Urban Artifact.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. Peaches and cream. It is delicious. Like, it's I tend to like those sour beers when it's warm out. Mm-hmm. And it's quite refreshing. Just a little, like, really good. Just really enjoy this. Got a little raccoon guy cool. on the can. Yeah. You know, Urban Artifact. Can't go wrong. They only make sours too, which is
it's a really difficult place to drink like six or eight of them. You'll wake up on your couch that night / morning watching. I somehow popped on some Netflix before I passed out, and I was like, I forget what the hell the name of the show is. So it was essentially like an Israeli version of 24. It was pretty dope. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, peaches and cream. You know that you love it
pretty
because
solid.
You're a fiend. Even better when you eat ice cream. You know what I mean?
Well, we got ice cream tonight. We did go to the dairy corner that is back open, has been for a couple of weeks. And there's a food truck that was near there tonight making, of all things, and I had some of it. It was absolutely delicious. Gluten-free funnel cake.
What?
So when Rachel looked it up, she's like, turn around, we're going back. I'm like, you're right, we are. And it was massive. It was delicious. You couldn't tell the difference. Although I'll say, regardless of whether it was gluten-free or not, because it was, the difference that I noticed was they fry in coconut oil.
Ooh.
And that gave it like a butterier fit. It was, oh my goodness, it was it was top-notch.
Interesting. So,
regardless of whether it was gluten-free, the coconut oil, I think, made all the difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling that you mostly taste the grease and not the glutens in the funnel cake, right? Like,
let's
get serious. I mean, it's a bread type food in name only. It's mostly a conveyance of grease, and that's why we love it and why America is the best country in the history of the world.
It's that, but then you also coat it in powdered sugar. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing.
Well, I mean,
that makes it delicious.
It sticks to all the grease so well. It'd be a shame not to.
it really does.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we went to a ice cream shop at one of the parks near us, and they have these incredible ice cream sandwiches. They're like two gigantic homemade chocolate chip cookies with just a ton of soft serve in between them. They were sold out. The shopkeep says that they take like 3 days to make. You have to bake the cookies, let them cool, and then essentially, like, to get the ice cream on there and have them set well, it's like it takes 3 days to get back. You know, if we're all the way sold out,
wild.
It's an almost religious experience to eat one of these stinking things. I mean, it's absurd. I'm pretty sure that if I have another one, and I think I've only eaten two of them in my life, I think you probably only need to eat three to get type 3 diabetes. But I mean, it's a substantial. It is a substantial sweet. It's questionable, but in a good way. You know?
Oh, yeah. 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 So, and then on the wrist, Oris PPX caliber 400. So Titanium, I feel like I'm going to wear the crap out of this. Like I've owned it for, I guess, going on 3 years now.
Yeah.
2 years, three years, something like that.
Three, I think.
And like it's getting close. Yeah. It's probably right around three. Bracelet's got some good, you know, not that you can tell, but when you look up close, you're like, oh yeah, there's definitely some wear on the outer end of that bracelet. But like, it's like, all right, this is just going to be, I'm just going to get worn a ton this summer, I feel like. Just because it's good. I just gravitate towards it. So anyway,
I love it.
Maybe I'll be inspired by our friend WOMW watch on my wrist, who just consolidated and go with do some consolidation, just get like one killer piece. And of course he consolidated into a piece that we all love, the Seamaster 300. So
I can't really
go wrong there.
I had a meeting with one of the guys at work that has one of those today. God, it's just good. It's just handsome piece.
So we've been doing a fair amount of traveling. We were at Disney. Disney didn't really have that many cool watches that I saw. Like, not really any. I mean, there were still watches, but nothing. The Dayton Air Museum, there was a gentleman wearing a No Time to Die Seamaster, which, you know, just cool to see. Like, you don't see those all the time. I was at a conference in New York, and there were, you know, Explorer 2s, there were Casios, there was a Sky Dweller, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think the coolest watch was actually on a woman's wrist. And she had on the Royal Oak. I think it's either the Nick Faldo or the one that looks like it had the, like, not Arabic, but it had like the standard numerals all the way around, black dial, Royal Oak, you know, word mark on it. Probably 37 millimeters on a bracelet. It like just was perfect. Like, it was so cool.
You sent like a representative picture of that to the group chat.
Cause I couldn't find out. I don't know references, so I didn't know which one it was, but I was like, it looked a hell of a lot like this, and it was awesome.
Yeah. I understand there are far better things that can be put in one's brain than references of a watch that you'll never buy. Right.
Exactly.
It's funny because it's pretty cool, but there's also like an air of, did they actually make this? Or is this like a too cute by half knockoff? Like, yeah, this word mark looks like it would in the old days, but guess what? I wasn't into watches when I was 5 years old, so I don't know if that was the correct one for the times or not. It has just enough of that keep you guessing aspect to it.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. Like you don't see very many Royal Oaks in person on like other people's wrists.
Agreed.
And it was pretty sweet. So anyway, yeah, that's the one that stuck out that I noticed. So
I don't think that because I haven't been on in a while. I saw a really cool one at Mass several weeks ago. Guy in the pew behind us had, I forget the exact model name, but it was the Hamilton. It's in their khaki family, but the two crown compressor style case had that on a bracelet, and man, it looked,
I guess, the khaki pilot or something.
I think so, but then I know that there's also the like 36 millimeter cushion case throwback one that has a name similar.
Well, they made that same dual crown one in out of aluminum for a while, like anodized aluminum, because there was like that blue one, the tan one, and the green one they had probably like 4 or 5 years ago in that same case. And there was a steel one prior to
This was the steel one, and it was really sharp. All around good choice. I applaud you, random fella.
Yes. Well, shall we talk briefly about your experience with a watch that we had in on loan?
Yes. It was a brief romance, you know. We came into each other's lives, and before we knew what happened, we departed each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the VPC. It was really great. I was equal parts pleased to be able to hustle it on its way, because I know it had an engagement, I think, on the other side of the country. You know, some quick timing that we had to hit, so I had to mm-hmm. drop it off at FedEx at lunchtime. But, I really enjoyed my less than 24 hours with it. The bracelet is phenomenal. The small touches on that bracelet are really remarkable. I liked how there were polished chamfers on the center links. There, it gave it a lot of dimension. It was just a really thoughtful design touch. Because I've seen similar things where the sides of those center links are polished, and where, especially like on a president, where you can see quite a bit of that side profile, right, mm-hmm. where each link fully articulates, but the way that they had those chamfers in there also was really really pretty clever. The clasp was nice, had a nice toolless micro adjust. I liked their monogram logo on it. I thought that was really nicely done, the interlocking initials. Let's see, some other things that stood out. I feel like the case hardening process that they're doing, it didn't make the steel look any different. You couldn't tell, but it did seem fairly clean and it was not obvious that was a watch that was making the rounds, right? To reviewers. Yes. So that was kind of a testament of its efficacy. Mm. Yeah, those are the main things that jump out. There were a lot. I just noticed that there were a lot of polished surfaces, kind of unique ones, like around on the lugs, around where the bracelet comes in, things like that mm-hmm. had to have been rather difficult, but were pulled off really nicely, and should be complimented for it. That leather pouch, travel pouch, was super nice. I mean, that was nicest that sort of pouch that I've ever seen. Once again, with the embossed, initial word mark mm-hmm. on the front, and that metal box that fits in, a Japanese box with a clasp, really clever. I actually took a photo of it. Toyo is the people that made that box. I'm interested because I'm sure that if I look them up, they'll fall into like some rabbit hole. I could just see them making like incredibly niche and beautifully well done like storage and mechanics tools or something like that. Mm-hmm. Something clever. The texture of the dial had just great effect. Really, really mm-hmm. neat. Almost the time reminded me of like a starry sky. Like the sub-seconds at 6 with the contrasting, off-white. That was done really well. Just a cool watch. I mean,
I mean, and the dimensions, I think sub 10 is just really impressive.
Oh yeah. Easy wearer for sure.
Yeah.
Very, very good. And it's funny too, because you look at the price and you say, whew, That's remarkable. But we were talking about this before we hit record. I feel like he's doing the exact opposite of most people. I feel like most companies have a price point that they know that they are going to play in and increase the features as much as they possibly can and still hit their gross profit that they need to play at that price point. And this one just feels to me, especially with the inclusion of things like the the wear resistance treatment and all of those, which, I mean, let's face it, right? It does nothing visually when you're buying the watch. Yeah. That is purely something that you do because you are in it for the love of the game, for the greatness of the sport. Like, I feel like he just wanted to make something brilliant that he'd be really proud of and set the price point accordingly. I salute you. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's, I was very tempted to take it with me. Like, it just, Thomas and I talked about this. It was, you kind of look at the case architecture and the dial and you're like, oh, this is kind of dressier. But then when you really think about what you're going for on a watch that could be a daily wear, it has to cover those situations too. And that one does it better than a lot of other sportier watches. But if you look at what he did for essentially getting to where he felt comfortable is the minimum amount of water resistance and robustness and still manning to thread that needle between, okay, being sub 10 millimeters thick, but still having a watch that's robust enough to kind of stand up to, let's be face it, daily life. Just really well thought out and well done. Yeah. So, and it's something that doesn't, like, you can see potential for design inspiration in a number of ways, but you're like, you're not like, oh, this is clearly,
yes,
you know, something that's very heavily inspired by a Rolex or by a this. It's like, no, I can see different things, different elements, but like nothing that is clearly like, oh, this is a this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because at this point, damn near everything has been done.
Correct. You
know, yes, there's still novel things, but when it comes to design elements, if you look hard enough, you could find something mm-hmm. that's been done before.
Exactly.
And also, I mean, we could say that it was designed and created, but, I mean, the first word in the watch brand title is Venus. So perhaps, like Venus herself, it merely appeared one day out of the foam. It was blown softly to shore. It could happen.
It's not a episode with Buzz if there wasn't some sort of a
reference. That's right. Although I do prefer the Greeks over the Romans for the mythology, mostly because I think Hephaestus is way more fun to say than Vulcan. That excellent effort, really really cool. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money, and the downside mm-hmm. with the micro brand is you are unlikely, I should say, to be able to go and see it in the flesh. So, yes. You know, I realize that that's a very real issue. And I say that as someone that has bought plenty of watches without seeing them in the flesh before doing it. But if it speaks to you, definitely consider it.
Yeah.
Because they did a lot of really good work on it.
I'm thirsty, but it's late. How do you feel about caffeine-free Coke?
Heyo.
I transitioned to the trade show that kind of was, I don't know, man, it was kind of a yawn.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything, like, normally there's something bonkers from another brand. Like, I guess Lange came out with their Honey Gold Lumen Datagraph, which was cool. Like, there's always things that you're like, I'm glad this exists. It's not something I could ever afford, but, like, you're like, okay, that's really cool. And I guess there were a couple of those things. But it's just, I just feel like it's not the same.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's been a while since I've gotten really, really excited about, I mean, honestly, any of the big shows. The caffeine, it is hilarious, though, right, that the caffeine-free Coke is almost, I should say, exactly what people have been asking for since literally the Black Bay GMT came out. And
yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I almost feel like I stopped ever hoping that they would give us what we wanted. And now, I mean, you know, come at me, bro. Spears out. I don't care. I don't like the guilt Coke colorway. I don't like the Coke as much. I know that you're a Coke boy. But with that and the guilt, oof, it doesn't do it for me. Yeah,
I'm with you.
So, I feel like maybe they figured out how, once again, they're just practicing the Rolex, like, don't give the people what they want, or if you do give it to them, don't do it right away. Yeah, be a little tease first.
I would like to see it in person, because I feel like they didn't go as gold as they could
have. Oh, for sure.
In a weird way, I feel like had they gone more gold instead of less champagne-y, it might actually look better. Mm-hmm. Or had they done a red arm on the GMT hand. You know what I mean? Like, had they done something to set the GMT hand apart a little bit, I think that would have helped. I mean, we're nitpicking it as, like, I like the black and red colorway. I think it, like, for me, it's probably 75% of the way there. The thing is if I look at, like, what I've been hoping for, and actually I do really like the black and gray bezel all stainless GMT Master 2 that came out. That's a good looking watch. Like, is it an exciting watch? Not really, but is it a good looking watch of it? Like, of the Rolex releases, I think that's probably the one. Although I will say I am kind of a sucker for the Le Mans Daytona in gold. Like, that's pretty sick.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's, if you wanted to talk about, again, cool watches that I'll never be able to afford that are cool because they exist, like, that's a cool watch. It's a cool watch. Anyway, I feel like if I was given the choice, if I was going to go get, the only reason to get the Tudor at this point, because, like, I would have loved a Cerachrome black and red. I think that really would have popped. That would have been cool. They didn't do it. Especially on a Jubilee. But all it really makes you want to do is actually just go hunt down a regular Coke, like a regular, like the vintage Rolex one, even though I don't like the bracelet as much, even though I know it'll be flim, like, it's like at that point, I think I'd rather just get the OG instead of this one. And it's not a knock on the Tudor. I'm with you. The gilt colorway is just, I'd like to see it in person, but it's just enough. It's like, I think, you know, something, forego buying another watch, consolidate, and go get the Rolex GMT Master too.
Well, and also, like, yeah, it's not like I'm going to ignore it the next time I'm at Richter.
Oh, yeah,
like, I really am interested to see it. And to get it on the wrist and see, like, you know, it's got the T-fit. I mean, it's got everything that that people are looking for.
What you're going to see is they'll likely, because if you look at that watch, I know the Tudor Boutique Edition, the bronze one that had the full bronze bracelet, had the T-fit, and that was the only Black Bay 58 that had the T-fit. It also had the Explorer dial. I think what you'll see is the other thing they updated on this one, it's nice and thin, and it had, like, not that the 58 wasn't already thin, but it has the less goofy crown tube, correct?
Yeah.
Yours still has the goofy crown tube that mine has, that they got rid of on the new Black Bay 41s, that they got rid of on the Black Bay 54s. And this one doesn't have, so I think you're going to see, like, probably a full model refresh on the 58s at some point.
I could see that.
That'll give them all T-fit. That'll get rid of the crown tube. You'll probably have a new range or a new set of colorways of just Black Bay 58 standard divers. But, you know, maybe it'll still be the regular standard gilt colorway, because if you think about what they did with the Black Bay 41, they relaunched the very first one that they did. They did the red bezel, gilt, and they gave you two bracelet options. Maybe you're going to see a gilt Black Bay 58 come out. Maybe they do the blue and gilt this time. That actually is, yeah, that's pretty good color combination, right, Buzz?
I think so. Call me crazy.
I think that's pretty solid color combination.
Something I may be fond of.
Yeah. But then maybe put it on a Jubilee with a T-fit or something.
Yeah.
You can see them starting to, like, really, like, in fairness, it's been, what, 6 years? The 58 came out in 2018. 6 years, they could update that.
Big time. You take a look, and, I mean, yeah, it's funny, because the more I stare at that bezel, the way that the tone that gilt is almost makes the black look less black and more super, 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 super dark blue. Like, sometimes when you look at it, it would be interesting to see this thing in real life. At the price point, it's incredible. That's really surprising, in a good way. I mean, it's amazing. They gave us, people verbatim have been wanting a Black Bay 58 GMT forever. Mm-hmm. And they did it. So, you know, good on Tudor. Cracks me up, one of the shots that I saw with the rubber strap version, the texture on the inside of the rubber strap is the snowflake hands stacked back and forth.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool. An incredibly clever way to do it.
Yeah. It makes me wonder too, like, you've got a Black Bay 50, you've got a Black Bay GMT, you've got the Black Bay Pro that's a GMT complication, you've got a Black Bay Chronograph, you got the Black Bay Divers. You do now have, you know, the Pelagos, the Pelagos FXD. Can't remember. I don't think they've discontinued the LHD yet. Have they? Have they discontinued
that?
Don't
think so.
I don't think they have.
Hope not.
But you have the FXD that now has a chrono in the Pelagos line. The one thing that is missing from the Pelagos line is a GMT function.
Which, funny enough,
it just makes you wonder if maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the other thing that people have been wanting. I feel like more people.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, you know, want 1B as opposed to the 58 GMT being 1A.
You do a Pelagos 39 GMT, no problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be dynamite. Be really interesting to see how they do that bezel.
Correct, because that's a ceramic bezel. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious as to how they would do that. I'm with you.
How to keep from stepping on Big Brother's toes, and, you know, also making something that's just...
It's more matte and less shiny, though.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, personally, everyone that's listened to this podcast has heard this complaint before. I mean, I'd be... tickled with the Pelagos 39 with the date. Yeah, I would already feel really like silly about having the Black Bay 58 and the Pelagos. Like, oh come on, you know, there are more brands out there than Tudor, right? I'd be tripling up on that at that point. But I really could not get another no date diver. I have to sign and date too many things in a normal day at work. It's I'm already suffering for the love of fashion. Yeah, high fashion. 58.
Yeah.
And actually, my Oyster Prince is also a no date.
So you'd be tripling up on no date Tudors. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, you could. That'd be really. You could fun. Say I have a type.
Yeah, you could.
Goodness.
So I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention probably my other two favorite watches from Watches and Wonders. And again, I'm leaning hard into this brand. And I got to say, again, find any fault with Zenith's strategy lately.
Yeah.
Really, like the Defy Extreme Diver, and now they also have a Defy Skyline Chronograph, which also looks quite nice. You look at the Defy Extreme Diver that comes with the three strap options, 600 meters of water resistance. It's a bit bigger, but like it gives you like the two colorways they did, just everything about it. I look at that, I was like, that's a cool looking watch. Like, is it 11,300 Swiss francs or whatever? How many dollars? Like, yes, it's expensive, but it's cool. You get a fabric option, a rubber option, or a NATO option. You get a bracelet with it. Like, it's a good looking watch. And then the Defy Revival, the 37 millimeter one, it's a chonky boy because it's almost 16 millimeters thick. Almost 16 millimeters thick. But it's got, again, that one also, 600 meters of water resistance, awesome orange and black. Like they recreated the Gay Ferraris bracelet for it, like essentially recreated the – like they just – When they do something, they're like, we're going to do this. And they do it. They do it the right way. There's like, they made a one-for-one copy, a modern equivalent of the old watch. It's really cool. It's bright orange. Come on. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. They stay winning, as the kids would say.
They do. They do. I don't know, man. It's tough to argue with it.
Mm. Yeah, once again, victims to not having as much of a sales presence.
Really, that's really kind of it. I mean, that's, which in some ways is surprising because doesn't LVMH own and sell everything now?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are they slow playing our boys? Be out there.
It's like the Brian Kelly strategy of redshirting your best recruits. No. I need to save you.
Exactly. Exactly.
No. We gotta let this guy start.
We might actually have a good team if I don't redshirt you.
Yeah. No, but think about it. In 3 years, when he's going to leave for the draft, the team could have been that much better because I'd redshirt him. So, like, that's – we're always perpetually worried about 3 years out. Like, I don't get that strategy. You have Zenith, which is constantly pumping out bangers, and yet, like, their points of sale are probably the smallest out of anybody in the portfolio. I just don't get it.
Me neither.
Maybe they just need to let one of the kids run it for a while, and that'll change something.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, we can't solve all the problems, or even many of the problems.
No. We can't. Do you want to see that orange watch in person, though? Both of them. Love to try those on.
Agreed.
Columbus is the closest, isn't it?
I think so.
Not that far, but it's just far enough.
It's just far enough that I hate it. Plus, I just
Yeah.
Columbus. Garbage.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just enough of a drive.
Cincinnati's way
better. Yeah, Cincinnati's absolutely 100%. All right.
Well, I don't really have anything else. Like, Watches and Wonders was kind of a... Grand Seiko had some cool stuff. Cartier decided to have a watch tell the time backwards, I guess. I don't know. It's just fine. What are you doing?
I like that Cartier Tortue Mono Pusher Chrono. That was dope.
That one's cool. That one's cool.
I also it's gorgeous, but for 46,000 euro, it better be gorgeous.
Yes. What else was crazy? Was there anything else crazy? I mean, Grand Seiko did another Constant Force Tourbillon because Grand Seiko does like insane stuff.
Those,
in fairness, they do it incredibly well, but they do insane stuff. What else? What else was weird and fun? Not much, actually. IWC has a watch that's good for 45 million years, technically, I guess.
Oh, hell yeah. I've been worried.
They use the Gregorian calendar for their, so I think, did they call it the eternal calendar? That's actually, like, you want to talk about a flex. That's pretty cool. What else? Yeah, Chopard had some cool looking stuff. Oh, the green and gold overseas. I mean, the blue and gold overseas was good. The green and gold, that just... The overseas in gold is one of those that you're just like, yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, I'm scrolling and I'm just like, yeah, I guess. Rolex debuted a diving weight, which was cool, I guess. Did you see that one? You didn't? The solid gold deep sea? It weighs almost a pound. I guess if you're saturation diving, like, it just helps keep you on the
bottom. That is a flex, that's for sure.
I guess. I don't even know.
Yeah. I like that.
Anyway. Oh, Grand Seiko did one of their spring drive chronographs with like a red, like, it just that's a watch that every time I see one of those, they are so big and funky and cool. You're just like, man, that's cool. But anyway, yeah, it's really the Zeniths. Really the Zeniths for me. Yes, the Portuguese are eternal calendar.
Eternal calendar. Love it. Gregorian. Whether you want mm-hmm. some chance, you want some calendars, hook you up.
Yep. And then Oris did a new Aquas, which is a little like, it's just like an updated version. Good looking watch. But just, although I'll tell you, I feel like I've done this exact shot that they did for their press photo.
Yep.
Not with two Aquases, but with all my Orises. I've done that with that and with the pen.
Love that pen.
I'm assuming when you're signing and dating stuff, that's the pen you're using.
Yeah, I keep it at the home office, so no greedy grabbers carry it off, because then I would have to do a Taken/John Wick revenge fantasy until I get the pen back. Yeah.
Two things about that pen. The first one is I finally had to replace the nib.
Oh, really? Wow.
I'm a dummy, and it came out, and then it, like, I couldn't get a new ink cartridge in, and I forgot that it screwed in and out. I thought it was like pressured in and out, so I tried to push it back in, and I bent it. And then I realized, oh, you screw it in, dummy. So I ordered a new one, a new nib, which, you know, that's the nice thing is they're just pretty standard replacement nibs from Kaweco. The second thing is I take that pen with me on all of my trips. And that's what I use to take notes, everything. To your point, I really enjoy writing. So like I was at a conference taking all my notes with these pens. Not this time. I've gotten better about it, but you have to be careful on what you pack that pen next to, because there have been, I think over the last 2 years, I've had to have my luggage looked at in two of the three times. It was because of that pen, because it looks very questionable depending on what it is next to in your carry-on. And then when they open it up, they pull it out. They're like, what is this? And you'll be like, oh, it's a pen. And they're like, and then the TSA agent always laughs because they're like, oh yeah, I forgot people have fountain pens and one's made of metal. And then they're like, yeah, you're fine. But they're like, what? Cause they pull it out. They're like, what is, and then you unscrew it, like it's a pen. And they're like, oh, big old hunk of metal. What is this? It's a pen. Oh, okay. Carry on. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh man. Well, so. Cool.
Yeah. Well, it's been good catching up.
Absolutely.
We'll have to do this with Spangler again in person. And I'm really excited about the idea that to do the in-person one.
I am too. And we need a fourth for that.
Well, I was talking about the other idea that we have. I guess that one doesn't have to be in person.
Oh, yes. Yes. The other idea is really good too.
That one might be more pleasant than the one that you're
suggesting. Oh, agreed. Wholeheartedly. Yeah.
We might have to get two episodes out of the idea that you're suggesting.
Yeah. Or maybe we should just, in the interest of not ruining things we love, we should go on easy mode and get six people. The math works.
No, I think you get four. You get four, but then you take more time and you cut it into two episodes, and then people have to tune in to see whether or not we made it.
Sorry, listeners, however many we still have, we're being purposefully obtuse, but if we ever pull my idea off, yes. I think it will be a masterpiece.
I think we'll pull it off, and two, I think you're absolutely right, and three, I think the next day is going to be rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, gang.
All right, buddy.
Well, it has.
Until next time.
See ya.